Thank you so much, brethren. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? But not just that, to be in at the Better Life Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. You don't sound too convinced of that. I'm convinced of it. We bring you greetings from the Waitara Seventh-day Adventist Church in the greater Sydney area, where my wife and I were at a week ago today. And we were so blessed to be able to go and minister and to see God move in many different ways. But we were even more excited to come back home to see God do even more of that in this place. Isn't church a cool place? No, literally, it's a cool place. We now have air conditioning at church. It's a cool place. For those of you who have been here for quite some time, you know how toasty it can get during the summer. And today, if you've been blessed by the music that you've been hearing, there is quite a concert with your name on it this afternoon at 5:30, right here. And so don't worry that it's going to be too dark out. You can come and be witnesses and be blessed by the music. But not just that, you can sit comfortably in a nice, cool sanctuary, as now we have air conditioning. With that being said, I did not come here to tell you about those things. But I came to share with you a word from the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Father, you who give great gifts to your children, we do not deserve them, but you give them to us anyway. And today you want to give us something that fills our souls, that supplies our deepest need. And the truth is, only you can supply that need. So we ask that you'll grant us a hunger for your word, a hunger for you, a hunger for your spirit, and may you continue the work that you started years ago. Bless us, O Lord, and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We were on the flight from Vancouver, Canada to Sydney, and there's many things we did on that flight. One of them was eat and eat and eat, because we ate like three times. But as I finally woke up after the food, I was spending some time in prayer, and as I was praying, the Lord said, here's a message. Hear, 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 hear. And God does that. And I believe that God has something that he wants to do today. Because God always shows up. God always fulfills his word. He's promised to meet with his people in a very special way on the Sabbath, has he not? But some here were thinking, I don't want to go to church anymore. I mean, why go to church? I don't want to go anymore. Or maybe some of you were thinking, this is my last Sabbath going to church. Or maybe you could be thinking, nobody cares about me. Could some of these thoughts have run through your mind lately? The devil puts these thoughts in there. If you were thinking this recently, you actually wouldn't be the first. Turn with me. We're going to be spending quite a bit amount of time in the book of Genesis, the early chapters. You can always tell where the pastor is in his devotional life where he preaches. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and on, the Bible says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. When Adam and Eve left the church, why did they leave? Because to an extent, the Garden of Eden was like a church. They did not like the pastor. True story. Because the Bible says, Jehovah es mi pastor. Nada me faltará. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In what we just finished reading here, did they follow their shepherd? No, they didn't like their shepherd. In fact, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's funny. Some of you were saying before we left, Pastor, we were afraid that when you guys went to Australia, that maybe you weren't coming back. But no, there's too much work to be done. In fact, we're just scratching the surface. It's interesting. Sometimes around here, maybe we can get to talking about the pastor. And guess what? We went down under, and guess what they were doing? They were talking about the pastor. But I truly believe a pastor comes to a certain place at a given time to do a specific work that God puts on their hearts to do. And I praise God so much that we are here in Roseburg. But with that being said, now is the time to work together to move forward. Because there will be a time. There is no plans as I speak. But now is the time to put that into action, for there will be a time in which you'll say, you know what, I remember when Pastor Tony and Sayuri were here. I wish we would have taken advantage of this and done that. It's a good time. A lot of work is being done in our church sanctuary, praise the Lord, but there's even greater work to be done in the lives of his people. Why did they leave? Check this out. The glory and peace of heaven and the joy of communion with God were but dimly comprehended by men, but they were well known to Lucifer, the covering cherub. Since he had lost heaven, he was determined to find revenge by causing others to share his fall. This he would do by causing them to undervalue what? Heavenly things, and to set the heart upon the things of what? The earth. Wow. Desire of Ages 1:15. You see, they thought that earth was better than heaven, and we too could be thinking that the world is better than the church. We undervalue the glories of heaven, as if what's down here is better than what's up there, and if what's out there is better than what's in here. Maybe we too could be tempted as they were in regards to what is of greatest importance. Some thoughts that could cross our minds is, did Jesus really tell them what to eat of the tree? Was God clear with Adam and Eve? Well, I think so. You see, our decision reflects who we love most. If I love me most, then my decision will be based on me. But when I love God most, my decision will be based and reflected in how I serve others and serve him as well. Why did they leave? They actually had problems with doctrine. They had problems with doctrine. What are you talking about, Pastor? What doctrines could possibly have been in the Garden of Eden? Well, since you asked, doctrine is what we believe, amen, based on what we find in the Bible. And it helps us explain how we relate to God. As it pertains to doctrine, we relate to God through Jesus Christ. We are his children, the Father. Jesus is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. Praise God. And so, look what this says. Satan found his way into Eden and made Eve do what? Believe. And what is belief associated with? Oh, doctrine. That she needed something more than that which God had given for her happiness. That the forbidden fruit would have a special exhilarating influence upon her body and mind and would exalt her even to be equal with God in knowledge. But the knowledge and benefit she thought to gain proved to be to her what? A terrible curse. Interesting. And this quote takes it further. False theories repeated again and again appear as falsely inviting today, as did the fruit of the forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden. The fruit was very beautiful and apparently desirable for food. Through false what? Through false doctrines, many souls have already been destroyed. So what doctrines were there, Pastor? Well, for starters, the character of God. Well, what is the character of God? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. How was that attacked? Genesis 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Did God say that? No, he didn't. What was the devil after? Misrepresenting the character of God. That's a doctrine. But not just that, but the doctrine of the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God. How so? Genesis 3 verse 4, the Bible says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." What did God say? Oh, you will die. You see, there was an issue with what the Bible says, with what God had said. Third doctrine, the doctrine of salvation. How so and where? Genesis 2, 16 and 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." All right. You see, the devil wanted to have them think that it doesn't matter what you do, you'll still have eternal life. If there was anyone who firsthand experienced this lie. It was Lucifer, because he thought he can do whatever he wanted in heaven without any ramifications. And he tells to us the same lies. But he who endures until when? The end shall be saved, Matthew 24:13. You see, walking with Jesus, having a saving relationship with him, is not just yesterday, it's not just something tomorrow or even next week, but it's even until Jesus comes. He who is faithful until the end. What other doctrine was the devil attacking? Well, the law of God. How so? Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They started to understand that there was cause and effect, that there was right and wrong, and God had told them to do the right and not the wrong. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the Bible says. Not just that, but do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You see, is God good? Sorry, that response sounded like a so-so. Like God is so-so. Is God good? Okay. Is his law good? Okay. But yet, it was the law of God that the devil was trying to distort to make it appear as if it was not good. Hence, that maybe God is not good. What other doctrine was the devil working at? The state of the dead. How so? Genesis 3, verse 4, the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What a lie that was. You didn't know there was that much doctrine in the Garden of Eden, huh? In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You see, what God had said before, he reiterated, because his word is true. Amen? What other doctrine, Pastor? Well, stewardship was in there. How so? Genesis 2:15, the Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. If they would have done this, would we be in this predicament today? No, we wouldn't. Let's continue. How about marriage and family? Oh, I think that was involved too, because they kind of separated from themselves, huh? And last, well, actually, no, number 8. How about the health message? Was that in there? Well, they ate the wrong food. Right? They ate from the wrong tree. It's a health message. And last but not least, the remnant and its mission. How so, Pastor? You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to be God's ambassadors and representatives on earth to the universe. And we too, in a very special sense, have also been placed in this world as God's ambassadors to be a light to the world. Amen? Why did they leave? They didn't like the pastor. They had issues with doctrine, but why else? They also never apologized. Interesting. You see, Genesis chapter 3, verses 10 to 13, the Bible says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In other words, I heard your voice, I was afraid. Not just that, but I was naked. I hid myself. This woman, she got issues, God. God turns to the woman. That serpent you made, God. Look at this. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come into Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable before God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Testimonies for the Church, page 637. I can get you the volume later. You see, what kind of prayers am I praying is the question. Am I telling God, you know, if so-and-so wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have done this. If they wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have done this. Are those our prayers? I want my prayer to look like this. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me. A what? A sinner. That's what our prayers need to look like. I'm a sinner. I need help. I need a savior. And it's not me. It's him. Why did they leave? They thought that they were right and that God was wrong. That's why they left. Could we be thinking that we're right and that God is wrong? Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. Well, what brought them back to church is the question. I'll tell you what brought them back to church. Jesus did. Isn't that what maybe brought you back to church? Jesus. You see, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14, 6. You see, Jesus, the Bible says, is... Help me now. We just read it. He's the way. Amen? The Bible's very clear that it's only through him that we can go to the Father. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name under heaven given unto man by which we must be saved. No other name. It is only Jesus. We have wonderful names, but not like Jesus. Our Redeemer has opened the way so that the most sinful, the most needy, the most oppressed and despised may find access to the Father. Praise God. There is a way. There is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Prophet to King 702. You see, Jesus is not only the way, he is also the truth. You see, Jesus is not some mystical thing or experience. He's someone concrete. We come to know who Jesus is in the Word of God. Amen? And if I'm not in the Word of God, I'm really not knowing who Jesus is. It is in his word. If I'm not in the truth, then what am I in? Have you asked yourself that question? If I'm not in the truth, what am I in? I'll tell you what. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the what? In the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Did I mention that we have a concert today at 5:30 in a cool place? These words kind of echo through that concert that you'll be hearing. So make plans, bring a friend. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The concert's also free as well. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if I'm not in the truth, what am I in? Well, I'll tell you what, we're in lies. If I'm not in the truth, I'm also with the murderer. Right? Okay. What else? I'm also in bondage. Because if I'm not in the truth, I'm in lies, and that usually leads to disobedience. And disobedience leads to sin, aka bondage and slavery. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. If I'm not even sure how to live my life anymore, Pastor, how do I move forward? How can I face tomorrow? My life is a mess. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, an extra T there, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you don't know how to live, die to Christ today. If you think you do know how to live, die to Christ today. We cannot go wrong that way. But Pastor, I've gone too far. Maybe I've committed the unpardonable sin. There's no way that God can forgive me about that. Well, hold on just a second. There is a Savior who's reaching down to pick us up. And not just to pick us up about some things in our lives. Here's some good news. Before they heard of the thorn and the thistle, of the toil and the sorrow that must be their portion, or of the dust to which they must return, they listened to the words that could not fail of giving them hope. All that had been lost by yielding to Satan could be regained through Christ. You have not lost too much. You have not gone too far. We can regain it all through who? Through Christ. I don't know about you, but that's good news if you ask me. Jesus. He is here and waiting and wanting to give us eternal life. He's wanting to give us his truth. He's wanting to give us life and show us which way to go. I don't know about you, but I'm realizing that I need more Jesus in my life. How about you? Here's the good news. Adam and Eve not only came back to church, better yet, they came back to Jesus. They came back to Jesus and the church. God is high and holy. And to the humble, believing soul, his house on earth, the place where his people meet for worship, is the what? The gate of heaven. The song of praise, the words spoken by Christ's ministers, are God's appointed agencies to prepare a people for the church above, for that loftier worship. leave church? How could I do that? This is a place that's the gate of heaven. This is where I learn how to worship here on earth as I get ready to worship up in heaven. If there's a place I need to be and that I would want to be, it's at church. Since they came back to Jesus, since they came back to the church, guess what else came naturally to them? They wanted to faithfully obey God. They accepted truth and doctrine instead of lies. They had a better marriage. Maybe we're needing a better marriage. They ate what God wanted them to eat, and they told everybody about the love of God once they came back to Jesus. You see, Jesus is coming soon. It is not a time to leave Jesus. It is a time to come to Jesus. It is not a time to leave the church. It is a time to come to the church. Someday soon, we shall see him. I'd like to invite our gentlemen that we're doing their quartet. They're going to be sharing a song to us. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And in that same chapter, come on up, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you, and me may be also." Let us listen to this song of appeal.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God and in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for thee. Coming, are you ready? The Lord is coming, are you ready? Would your heart be right if he came tonight? The Lord is coming. Promises of God all are true. Jesus bought your life on Calvary's mountain, and soon he will come again for you. The Lord is coming, are you ready? Coming, are you ready? Would your heart be right if he came tonight? The Lord is coming, are you ready?
I don't know if you want to be ready. I want to be ready. Because if we have missed heaven, we have missed everything. And my Bible tells me that He, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. And that the only way I can get to heaven, to the Father, is through Jesus. Is that the one you want to invite into your life anew today? Is that the one you want to trust and believe in and to surrender today? If that is your desire, stand with me. Father, we thank You because You've given us Jesus, our Savior, our Lord and our King, who was despised, shamed, and crucified in our place. He bore all of our sins willingly and opened not His mouth. No murmur, no complaint. Only love. And Father, we ask that You'll help us to come to You in Jesus' name through Your Spirit. We ask if there's matters in our lives that we know isn't part of the church above. May Your Spirit convict us as we are in the church below, to put aside. May we give sincere thought as to where we are today, for this could be our last opportunity. Move upon Your children, O God. May we love Jesus more. May we trust Jesus more. May we surrender completely to You this day. Forgive us of our sins. And thank You because You give us the promise that all that we have lost previously, that in Christ we might regain them. May we come to Christ not just for the things that we can get, but may we come to Christ for He loves us so much. Move Your church, O God. May we come to church and not leave church. May we come to You as soon Jesus will come. Bless us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.